Everyone, it's Megan Segura
and Eric J. Mack,
and this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Breaking news: Andy Cohen had his baby,
and it's a boy, Benjamin Allen Cohen, born February 4th. Mazel, Andy!
And can I say, Eric, you called it. You called the name.
I did.
I mean, you didn't know the name was Benjamin, but you wisely pointed out while we were talking to Darren, which we recorded Monday, that in Jewish culture, it is common to name a child after the grandparents.
Yes, and I did try to do some research on Wikipedia. I tried to look up Andy's parents' names and then in turn his grandparents, but I didn't get the information in time. But then, like, an hour later, the baby was born.
And now looking back, Darren did slip a little bit because we were like, what are Andy's grandparents' names? She's like, I only know one of them.
Right.
And I'm like, well, how do you know?
And she also, when we were done recording, almost slipped again. When she we were like, can't wait to meet the baby. She was like, yeah, I can't wait for you guys to. And then she was like, oh, never mind.
She was going to say baby Benjamin.
Right. Well, not only that, but we have more Bravo baby news. The Real Housewives of Potomac's Ashley Darby is pregnant.
Yes, she and her husband, Michael Darby, are expecting their first child together. We even have a video of them together on the site. So we'll include a link in the description.
And mazel to them.
So this week, to talk all things babies and baby showers, we're joined by Darren Karp, Andy's longtime assistant. Plus, we'll go through the latest big episodes of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Vanderpump Rules, The Below Deck Reunion, plus, as always, our Rose and Thorn.
My favorite.
We have an exciting guest, Darren Karp, who is Andy Cohen's chief of staff, co-host of Martinis and Murder.
Yes.
You guys know that podcast. She's here.
Like, what a juxtaposition of titles, right?
Right.
I mean, like, I'm chief of staff, but I also talk about murder and get paid to drink. Like, do I have the best job?
You are the luckiest person
I have the best job. Yeah, best job ever. I really like the intro. You guys were like, I felt like we were on, like, NPR, like,
right.
You know, that SNL with, like, Alec Baldwin and Molly Shannon and Anna Gassart.
Welcome to the Bravo.
Yes. Welcome.
Well,
thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. Lots of exciting stuff at Bravo recently.
Yes. Yeah,
so, exciting stuff.
Obviously, the first thing that we wanted to talk to you about today
yeah.
is Andy's baby shower.
What do you mean?
You are on the ground. You are posting Instagram story after Instagram story. I mean, ground zero. What was it like?
I didn't even realize. I don't think anyone predicted it was going to be like that. Like, I thought it was literally going to be like a sit-down dinner. I found out at the start that we weren't opening gifts. Thank God, because that would have just been like a nightmare.
Yeah,
like,
so many people,
like, hugely competitive with each other. Like, it was just, I mean, no one expected where it was gonna go. I mean, like, so well decorated at the start. Like, they had this first off, there was like no mention of babies, which I also thought was hilarious. Like, they had a photo booth in the back that I didn't even do, and I'm a slave for a photo booth that had like rattles and like it's a boy. Like, no one was there. And they had a guy who was doing, like, beauty portraits on, like, vinyl records or whatever. So you could get your portrait done. Mine kind of looked like Kelly Ripa-esque. But you get it done in, like, a vinyl sleeve. And then just, like, hors d'oeuvres passed around. I had no idea what to expect. And at first when I was Instagramming, and they're all on my highlights because I got so many people to ask me to put them to my highlights, it was, like, kind of tame. Like, it was fun seeing the different cities interact and them playing up their stereotypes. You know what I mean? Like, Jersey like just wanted a party with Dallas. Like, it was just so great. And then got nuts.
All hell broke loose. Lisa Rinna.
Rinna took the mic.
Yeah.
And it just, like, went on from there. I mean, John Mayer stopped by. Jerry O'Connell was there with Rebecca Romaine. And I had nothing to do with the planning, despite what people think. It was actually the OG. So when Andy first announced he was having a baby on December 20th on the Come OG Faithful show, they decided afterwards that the OGs were going to throw him a baby shower. So really didn't have anything. I was not part of, like, the invite list at all. I was just invited.
I was actually
a guest.
Did anyone show up who wasn't invited?
Yes.
Oh.
A lot of people showed up that weren't invited. We kicked a few people out.
Did you kick any housewives out?
No.
Well, so then you have to tell us one person who was turned away.
I won't say which housewife, but someone brought their lawyer. We were like, no. We had to draw a line somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like saying it that it just was housewives was probably the best line to draw. Otherwise, we could have invited cast members that had been there from seasons and seasons and seasons ago. You know, but an important thing to remember, by the way, about this is that Bravo didn't pay for this. Everyone paid their own flights. Like, this was a social event. This wasn't like a Bravo televised thing. I will say Sonia brought an intern.
Uh-huh.
And he was there. He didn't get kicked out. And he was just there, like, carrying her purse, like, the entire time.
What a lucky intern.
I thought I was going to see him, like, spoon feed her food. And I was, like, so there for it. Alas, she fed herself.
What was the alcohol situation? Because obviously we saw...
They were serving Vanderpump Rosé.
Okay.
They were serving a Vanderpump
Rosé. So Lisa was kind of there.
Right. She was there in spirits.
Yeah.
I liked that. Okay. She was there in spirits. The alcohol was, shockingly, I had not one sip of alcohol.
What?
I, like, experienced, I kind of forgot. Like, I was experiencing it the whole way. Even my Instagram stories, I don't tag anybody. I don't really, like, say anything. It was just like, this is a documentarian's life, and you need to see it through my eyes. And I'm just, like, showing what everyone, like, how I'm witnessing all of this. Like, I didn't want to obfuscate it with any tags. And I just wanted to experience it sober. First off, you're kind of working, like, I'm kind of a guest. And sometimes when I drink at those occasions, I mean, talk about being paid to drink on my podcast, I say stuff I regret, and I didn't want that to be the occasion where I said something that I regret.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me just stick to, like, water. But I also, like, really didn't need to drink. Like,
right.
It was so cool.
There's a natural high, I feel like, being in that room.
All of us looked at each other, like Amy Phillips, who does Radio Andy and has, like, all these Housewives impressions. John Hill, who also was Radio Andy, integral part of Andy's life. Like, we were just looking at each other, like, oh my God, I can't believe all of this.
So, any Real Housewives tension?
They all sort of sat, you know, like in high school where you really sit with your cliques? Like, Mean Girls is so accurate, right? Like, you have, like, the athletes, you have this, you have that. This was like totally like that. It was so, like, within your city, you got to, like, you know, it was great. I would say the best entrance was probably Atlanta because they were, like, so late. And I was like, this is so accurate. I just saw you guys in Japan being so late
to everything.
Cynthia Bailey, like, turned it out. But yeah, it was definitely like West Side Story with the different franchises.
Musical numbers, you're saying.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yeah, well, I mean, literally, it was a musical number. And, like, Lisa Rinna just, like, yelling at us, screaming at everyone was amazing.
So, Andy, we know any day now, a new baby boy.
What day does this come out? What day is
Thursday.
Okay, so recording this on a Monday, so I don't want it, like, it to come out that, like, I'm dumb and I didn't know. That's what I'm trying to say. Right now, Monday at 4:20, hey, 4:20, there has been no baby yet, but I'm in constant contact. He's at the hospital right now, and I'll know shortly.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, how hard was it to keep the secret? I mean, when did you first know?
A year ago.
And wow. Has there ever been a moment where you let something slip, almost let something slip?
Yeah, I mean... Listen, first off, like, I'm used to having secrets to keep just with him. Like, never this big, right? Like, it's never been on the scale that this was. But it was impossible. I mean, the only people that I told were my parents and my girlfriend because my life was changing. I was answering all these emails. I had to print this out. Like, I needed advice from them. So those were the only people that knew, which I felt like was fine because, like, they're not going to tell anybody. Yeah, like, several times it was going to slip or, like, I'd laugh at something or I'd have to print something at the office and people would, like, stand by me. And it's pretty hard. Like, unless they thought that I was doing, like, an egg donation thing, like, then they would probably assume it was for Andy. I mean, the only way I could get away with it would be like, oh yeah, like me and my girlfriend are thinking about something. And I didn't want to have that conversation either. So it was quite hard. And especially when we were booking the LA shows, everyone on the staff was like, what are we doing there? Like, why are we going? What's happening? Like, even people at Bravo were like, why are we going to be in LA for so long? And I was like, Emmys. Yeah.
Award season.
Yeah. Like, Oscar, people are on the press circuit. Like, I had no idea what to say.
Do you know what the baby's name will be?
Yes.
Will we be surprised?
Well, I mean, like, what name wouldn't you be surprised with?
You know, is it going to be one of those?
It's not Andy, I'll tell you that. And it's not Darren, which I really marketed for like 6 months. I was like, boy or girl, it's great if it's, and he was like, uh-huh.
What about Eric?
I can tell you, you heard it here first, it's not Eric.
We have the exclusive.
We have the exclusive clip. It is not Eric. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not like, you know, it's not like Agamemnon or something like crazy. It's like an adorable name.
Well, and traditionally, I think in Jewish culture, it's usually a grandparent name.
Right. That's true. That's true. Although no one in my family has that and we're Jewish. But yeah, that is true in a Jewish tradition. That would be what happens.
So what are his grandparents' names?
I don't know all of his grandparents' names.
But you might know one.
I might know one. I might know one.
Also, I meant to ask, did you go to Andy's baby shower
in New York? I did.
And?
It wasn't, it's funny because I guess SJP had written on his Instagram, like, we did a lot differently back in the East Coast. And then, you know, like, everyone was like, is that shade? Like, was SJ being shady? And, like, I don't think she was at all. It was just, like, so different and so, it was, like, such, first off, it was at his apartment. It was all his, like, his family came in, his close friends. Because, like, most people who know Andy know that he's got his famous friends and he's got John Mayer and he's got Kelly Ripa and SJP. But he also has, like, a really core group of friends from St. Louis and from college that have been there to support him. And those are, like, his gang. Like, those are the people that he goes out with. His posse, as he says. So they were all there. And it was really, really sweet. Balloons everywhere. There was a bartender, lovely food. SJP was one of the hosts of it, as was Bruce Bazzi and Jackie, his two really good friends. Bruce was there for both, and it was lovely. It was like we actually opened gifts there, you know, because like we could. It was probably only 30 of us in his apartment.
Wow.
So I got to see how the different coasts do it, which was cool.
Do you know who the godparents will be? Are there going to be godparents?
I don't know. I actually don't know that question. I could take a guess, but I don't know the actual answer to that question.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair. I mean, he has a sister, right? Like, it could be her. Like, obviously, she's going to be an aunt. But I would imagine, I mean, he is a godparent, him himself. So maybe it'll be reversed. I don't know.
So given that you have been with Andy for 8 years now, you've seen a lot of drama on air, off air, everywhere in between.
Yeah.
So we wanted to read you, or perhaps recite and perform for you, some famous Bravo quotes and see if you can guess at least which show and which person or one or the other, whichever one you feel comfortable with.
Okay.
Okay, the first one. Why don't you have a piece of bread and maybe you'll calm down a little?
Oh my God! They said it to Shannon. I think it was Kelly Dodd saying it to Shannon in OC.
Not even close.
Who was it? I'm not good at this.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kim Richards to Lisa Rinna.
Oh, Kim Richards. Okay, well I had the state right. It's good enough.
All right, this is a softball. Mention it. Mention it all.
Bethany Frankel said it to Ramona Singer. She opened her legs. Mention it all. That I remember. Maybe because it was opening of the legs. I don't know. But I remember.
Okay. All right.
Did you just like wipe your brow?
I was just getting some fake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Keep it ready.
I'm getting into character for this next one.
Okay.
You're not important enough to hate. Sit down.
Oh, my God. I have all of them. Like, I have no idea about that one.
That was Vanderpump Rules, Lisa to Stassi.
Oh, okay. This is all Bravo shows? It's not just Housewives?
It's all Bravo, not just Housewives.
Oh, good. Okay. So we only have like 3 shows on air. Okay. This will be easy.
This isn't my plate, you f***ing bitch. Oh,
that sounds like could be Kelly Dodd. I mean, like, that sounds like it could be her.
It was Shannon to Kelly Dodd.
Is that's the fight that I'm confused about. I know it had something to do with like a fucking plate.
Yeah,
and she shoved it. Something like that.
Yep, that's
it's
it.
It's hard. We have like 7 franchises and I've been here for very long. Okay.
Okay.
I'm doing very poorly.
Well, remember, this is not just Housewives. So here's the next one.
Okay.
This one's hard.
It's a little hard. Why aren't you wearing undershirts anymore? Is it a laundry issue?
I mean, I don't know. Southern Charm?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Who do you think it was?
I could see someone saying that about like Craig or Shep.
Oh, wow.
Shep to Craig.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Guys, that's 100. I could get the rest of them wrong. And the fact that I randomly guessed
you
that.
Use like context clues with that one. Though.
I
that
did.
Was good.
Well, you prepped me.
Now, Megan, you got to do this one and you got to do
it. Do it right.
You got to do it
right. If I get
it
wrong, it's on you.
Okay. Last one. They're just hands.
Leanne Locken, please. Actually, Leanne was good. She was good at the shower, like super effervescent
she
and funny.
She also was posing in a picture with like Brandy.
No,
and
Brandy
everybody,
and like,
it seemed like
Brandy and Stephanie, and you know they were down with the Beverly Hills crew. They all got along. I mean, Brandy and Stephanie just wanted to have fun. You know, they're like sweet as pie. Like they just wanted to have a good time. There didn't seem to be any drama with the Dallas girls at all. Although we were missing Carrie Duber.
Mm.
She was the only. Oh, and Deandra wasn't there.
Oh yeah,
those are the two that were missing.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, why don't we get into the shows?
Let's do it.
So this week's Real Housewives of New Jersey, we have to talk about it.
State is doing me proud. Full steam ahead. And Margaret and Dolores are like my girls. Like,
absolutely.
I love them. Love them, love them, love them.
What do you think of Jennifer Aiden?
I think she's an amazing person to watch. Like, I think that she is so lovely for the cast. Like, she's such a good addition. Like, she's a really good foil for Margaret. Really for all of them. Like, because she's not as, in my opinion, like, she's not as, like, off the rails in a way that, like, maybe Danielle could be if, like, all the drinking has happened. Like, the interesting thing I find about Jennifer is that she's Turkish and she seems really, really traditional. So it's almost surprising that she would want to be drinking and sort of doing this as much as she would. Like, I thought that the religion and the fact that she's so traditional Turkish, like, would kind of hinder her behavior. But it hasn't at all. And we often forget that they signed up to be on the show. Yeah.
I did love that in the episode, her husband says at the party at the end, you have to understand, I tried for like 8 years to get her away from tequila.
I spent 16 years making sure she was away from tequila. Okay. So when she told me the story, I'm like, you did what?
Yeah. He has a good way about it. Like, even when Jennifer's sort of describing like what went down, he's like, oh, God, like, please. Like, oh, man. Like, you could just see him, like, shaking his head. He's like, I think you're wrong. Like, he just said it in a really good way. I thought he was going to, like, I don't know. I just thought it was going to be, like, some sort of oppressive thing that was going to happen. But he seemed to, like, really understand where his wife was coming from. And to be fair, as, I don't know, I guess, like, drunk as she seemed, she really handled herself well afterwards. Like, Margaret and her talked, you know, things seemed to be squashed. Like, she apologized to Melissa. She did all the rounds that you're supposed to do. And I feel like that's what makes not only, like, a housewife, but really, like, a mom, and, like, a good person. You know what I mean? You recognize your mistakes.
Yeah. I couldn't get over that either. Like, really, alcohol does affect her so differently, because when she wasn't on it, she's so humble and, like, hey, I was wrong.
Yeah, just, totally.
You know, but it's like, you give her a sip and it's just like,
but
yeah.
The thing about it's not just a sip, she goes straight for the tequila on the rocks,
like shots.
You need to ease into that again. Like, if you haven't been drinking tequila, like, start with a margarita. It's a little watered down.
And in the episode last week, I think it was last week, you know, when they're at the dinner and like the fights, like before the fight sort of breaks out, you know, Jennifer's like, where's my drink? And Teresa's like, it's right in front of me. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I love this. But she has a good, like, sense of humor, I think, about it. Like, I think that she knows, you know, Margaret doesn't drink. So it can never really be, like, Margaret, I guess, is even more responsible for her actions, right? Like, that's why I think she owned up to saying the thing about Jennifer's husband really quickly. Because it's not like you'd be like, I was drunk and I didn't know. It's like, no, you were sober, you were honest, you said it to hurt her. And it really made me love Margaret more. But I think for Jennifer and for other people, it's really easy to blame it on the alcohol.
Absolutely.
You know?
I did love that Danielle clarified.
I would never throw red wine on Margaret Josephs.
I would never throw red wine on Margaret Josephs.
Yeah, right. And I was like, wait, like, would you throw cranberry juice? Or, like, is it the color? Is it do you love red wine so much you would just never waste it?
It's like a clear liquids only rule.
Totally. Yeah. And, like, that should probably be the case. Like, if you're going to throw a drink, shouldn't be red wine. Red wine feels like the ultimate. But I love that Margaret doesn't drink, so she had to grab Dolores' drink and throw it for, like, extra dramatic effect. And I also, I don't know, like, how they chose the seating on that dinner. Like, if the girls chose it or what. But did you see that there was, like, a clear divide?
Totally.
Where it was, like, Dolores next to Margaret, next to Melissa, next to Jackie. And then, like, the other side was, like, Teresa, Jennifer, and Danielle. And I was like, yeah, this is so good.
Well, so we've talked a lot already about this sort of alliance that Teresa and Danielle have this season, which is kind of interesting because that hasn't been their relationship in the past. And, you know, in this episode in particular, Teresa's like,
she really shows up for her.
Well, and she's like, you know, Margaret dropped Danielle just like that. And I'm like, Teresa, have you not been here the whole season and watched what Danielle's done to Margaret? And I guess, you know, Teresa wasn't really witness to a lot of their fighting and stuff. But, like, after her behavior at the wedding, like, Teresa, she didn't just drop her like that. It was a lot built up to that moment where Margaret just finally just unleashed on Danielle.
I agree. I actually thought, I was surprised by Teresa's reaction. One, because, like, she used to not like Danielle. So I thought that she would relate to Margaret on this, being like, yeah, I know Danielle's a little, you know, like, she goes off the rails, or, like, she says things that are, like, kind of harsh. But, like, at the end of the day, she's a good person. She's a good friend. Like, I thought Teresa was going to be a good bridge to that divide and that gap, because she has been where Margaret was. But then to say, I think, for real, I think Teresa's pain with Margaret was the husband thing and how she brought up the cheating. Because how many times have we seen Teresa go through it? But to Margaret's point, she was like, well, I apologized immediately. Like, I took it back immediately. And like, we, how many of us can say that we haven't said something just to hurt somebody else?
Right.
True or not true? Like, below the belt or not? Like, Margaret owned up to it. She said something. I felt like Teresa was kind of grasping at straws to keep that as a as an excuse not to like Margaret, and I don't know why.
Well, it wasn't about Teresa, you know? So for Teresa to kind of take it personally and take it to heart because she has had the accusation, I understand why she, like, relates to how Jennifer must have felt at the time, but, like, don't turn on Margaret then in that
case. And
not
only that, but, like, Jennifer was mentioning Margaret's mother. So it's like, so we can't mention husbands and children. Well, we shouldn't be able to mention parents. Like,
oh, 1,000%. I do
think there's a difference between mentioning husbands and mentioning children. Because I think that husbands are more in an equal playing field and they're an adult and they sort of have agreed and signed up to be on the show, and like, kids don't have that same right and they have to live with the legacy of it. So I do think kids should be absolutely off limits, and I think Melania deserves NBFB, like, for the entire season. Like, that was the best song we've ever gotten from Bravo, in my humble opinion.
Agreed.
And I had it stuck in my head, like, at Watch What Happens Live for like weeks. Like, Margaret and I would be singing it in the back. Like, she just did such a good job. But I do think kids should be off limits. And if kids are off limits, then parents should be as well. Like, spouses, I do agree, should be, but I understand why they're brought in a little bit more because they play a part on the show.
Yeah.
They affect the show.
You leave Marge Sr. out of this.
She's
okay?
Perfect.
She is perfect.
She's perfect.
She really does look so great after all of this
work. But what I love when Margaret's like, you look like death becomes her. I'm like, oh, I love your statements, Margaret.
It's true. Like, I cannot get over it. Every time they show Marge Sr. post facelift, I'm like, wow.
No, she looks, what a babe. Yeah. She's a total babe. Great personality. I love both of them so much.
So there were a couple times in this episode, too, that I got pretty emotional. The first time was, I know, I'm very sensitive.
Yes.
The first time was Jackie making that phone call to her sister and not really knowing how it was going to go.
When you haven't spoken to a family member in 15 years, you don't know how they're going to react. It's like, will she even pick up the phone? What if she hangs up on me? Hi. I'm glad that you answered. Everything good? I haven't called my sister in so many years that it's a flood of different emotions. It's strange to hear her voice at the other end of the line. I'm really happy that you answered the phone. Everyone is good. Once I could hear in her voice that she wanted to talk to me, it makes me realize how much I've missed having a sister. I think that, like, mommy, she'd, like, do anything for us to be close, you know, like that.
I always want to call you. I really do always want to call you, but I don't because I don't, like, I don't know if you'd want to talk to me, but really, that's what you think also? Yeah? You want to make plans? All right. I love you. You know that, right? Okay. Love you too. Bye.
That seemed a little weird only because, like, would it have been 15 years, 10 years?
15
years. I mean, like, wow. Like, what went down for it to be 15 years? But then it would just seemed like, I mean, granted, you know, the show, like, there's edits that are involved. I'm sure the conversation was a lot longer than the 45 seconds we saw.
Right.
But she was, like, on the side with her, like, whole family playing soccer. And she's just like, well, do you want to get together? And, you know, this is just like, sure. And I'm like, so is this squash now? Right. Like, you know what is happening?
I mean, I am an only child, so I can only, like, partially relate to the situation. But I think it's probably one of those things where it just, like, 1 year turned into 5, turned into 10, turned into 15. And at a certain point, you're probably like, why are we even fighting? Like, what are we even mad about? And
time I feel like does heal all wounds, I think, in that regard.
Right.
You know? And as you get older, like, you realize that, like, that's the that's really important.
And as they became parents, too, like, I'm sure whatever it was that divided them, you know, at a certain point brought them back together. So, I mean, you know, I got a little teary-eyed. I wasn't, like, choked up about it. But I was just kind of, like, I felt for her. I was kind of nervous to see, like, how her sister was going to receive, you know, her phone call. So I'm glad it worked out.
Can I mention something that I forgot to bring up in the show?
Oh.
That happened with Teresa? Were you, maybe we're going to get to this, so I'm jumping the gun.
Oh,
but were you surprised that after, like, the fight went down, that Teresa went after Melissa and didn't stick with Danielle? Did you notice that? Like, she actually stuck by her family. And she's like, listen, you're my sister-in-law. I'm following you. Like, I'm here to get you back. Like, how did you guys feel about that?
I felt like she was almost in her head playing it forward and could see her brother Joe's reaction and
being
was like
you weren't loyal.
Like, I need to fix this.
I thought that was Teresa like moving ahead and I was like, Tree,
I know.
Look at you looking ahead, girl.
Growing.
I know. I was just wondering if you guys flagged that because I was like, oh, no one had to, like, tell her to do that.
I did. And, you know, because I think it also said a lot because at first, like, Melissa wasn't really involved in the fight. And then my favorite moment from the previous episode was her being like, you got the wrong f***ing girl. And, like, coming around the table.
Like, I felt, oh, it was so good. I was like, good at Melissa. Right. I loved it.
And I think Teresa probably would not have thought about it. But as soon as Melissa got involved, I did appreciate that she was like, slow down. Where are you going? Wait, let me talk to you. And Melissa's, like, fired up. And
yeah.
I don't think she expected Teresa to follow her either. So it was actually, I did appreciate that moment.
I missed Melissa at the baby shower, I will say. I really like Melissa.
Yeah,
a lot.
Why didn't she
She's
come?
She's a sweetheart. I actually don't know why she didn't come. I have not heard like the reason. I mean, like Portia, I know, is like pregnant, obviously. Yeah. Like we know all the Candy's in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
So literally right. can't leave physically.
Melissa posted something on Instagram, I think, with family the next day.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was something.
Andy announced on December 20th. The baby shower was on January 26th. Like people had speaking engagements and things prior before. We only had 4 weeks to really plan. And like a lot of people aren't around. It's bad enough trying to schedule a damn reunion. Like it's hard and I do it all the time and it's very, very difficult. So just to sort of stop the rumor mill, like people did have prior engagements that are real.
Right. So going back to the other part of the episode that made me cry.
Yes.
I bet you can guess. It was the end at the charity event when we heard from all of the kids.
I know. I know. What a great idea, though, that Margaret has. Like, what a sweet idea. That's the thing, too, is, like, they're doing good things. Like, there's so many charity events. Every single franchise has their own sort of cause. Every single person, like, Dolores with their battered women's shelter. Like, that's real life stuff that's being affected. And that's really good press for those types of things. And it's really pushing the needle forward and really helping a lot of people. And hearing those kids talk and do the fashion show, I mean, like, I know that's Margaret's, like, rose of the whole season. That has to be. More so than any type of fight that you're ever going to get through and, like, the blow jabs at people. Like, that's really the stuff that counts.
Absolutely.
You cried. You're so sensitive.
I am. So next week is the finale, and we've heard that the reunion has some really explosive moments.
Oh, it's a good.
Oh.
You were there?
It's good, yeah. I was even getting updates from, like, Margaret. It was so good. It was amazing. It's going to be one of the best ever. We find out a lot of information. A lot of rumors get put to rest.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting. All right, guys, so stay tuned. We have a lot more Jersey to come.
Can we please talk about Vanderpump Rules?
Can we always not? Like, can we always talk about Vanderpump Rules? Like, is my favorite show on TV?
What, Darren, do you think of Sheena this season?
He hasn't really been around. Like, last year it was all about Rob, like, all about him. You know, we even joked at the reunion, like, she would say his name, like, 40 times in a sentence. I know that, like, she's seeing Adam the busboy. Am I right? Like, we saw a snippet of him during, like, that roller derby thing, the roller skating rink. Otherwise, she's really kind of faded into the background.
It's funny because my first note was she goes to lunch with Lala and she's like, what? No one told you?
Really? You don't know? No one said anything yet?
About what?
About me?
No.
Adam?
Are you guys a thing now?
No, we're not a thing. We just had sex.
My mind is blown.
The situation Adam and I are in right now is ideal. I'm a single woman. Neither of us want to be in a relationship. I would rather just hang and bang, you know? You hang out, bang it out. Best of both worlds.
Adam and I had sex. And, like, she's like, I'm surprised the whole group isn't talking about it. It's like, Sheena, no one cares.
We're like, I think that's, I mean, like, that was, like, before. Like, when even when she was trying to set Adam up with Brittany, we were like, oh, Sheena's having sex with Adam. Like, we all knew it was going to go down. I feel like she's so focused on Vegas. And, like, she's kind of been on the outskirts of the group this year. Like,
yeah.
I don't really see much of her.
It's true.
Well, that's what she kind of talks about with Lala, too. I mean, Lala's a little bit like, I think you should give up, like, trying to be friends with them. And Sheena, I kind of felt bad for her. She was sort of just like, I've always tried, and it just has never worked out for me, so I don't even think I'm going to bother anymore. And I was just kind of like, well, that's a little sad, but, like, do you even want to be friends with them then?
But the thing is like, Ariana was her best friend. And, like, Ariana was in the outskirts, too, because she came in as that, like, you know, scorned, you know, with the Dodie and the Sandoval situation, and no one was really friends with her. Stassi and Ariana didn't used to get along that well, and now they're having joint birthdays. Like, sometimes if you're not, like, of the core five or six or whatever it is, like, Lala's perfectly in there now. I never think about it. Like, James is kind of always on the outskirts, but it's for added drama. Like, I get it, you know what I mean? Like, him and Jax have their issues, and I don't know. I think Sheena could try a little bit harder to integrate herself within the group.
To care about everyone else.
I think she's a little self-absorbed now. And, like, you know, like, so am I. Like, that point in your life, whatever you're doing, but, like, you can't really be self-absorbed and, like, want to be involved in, like, a big group of also, like, self-absorbed people. Right. It's hard to fit in there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We really see Tom come to life this episode.
Don't we ever?
I thought it was interesting that it's the first time this episode Lisa Vanderpump's like, you guys have been asking me for a term sheet, so I guess I never do this, but here's a term sheet.
These guys have been going on and on and on about the term sheet.
No, we were just going to ask you if you've had a chance to come up with some sort of term sheet.
You will have your term sheet. It's in the works, okay? You will have it.
Okay.
I never wanted to do anything in writing. I would prefer for a 5-cent deal a handshake. But if you want this, then you can have it. More importantly, when it's a partnership, it's about trust. Right? Do you understand that?
We understand. I feel like I'm being inducted into a mafia organization. And if I cross her, I'm gonna get whacked.
I hope you feel that we definitely do have your back and have your best interest.
Okay, just don't let me down.
It's like, wait, but don't you own like 25 million restaurants? Like, I'm concerned.
Like, how do you
also,
go
how
into
did you get this far?
Business with people and not have a contract?
Because what was the amount of money that they both invested? Like 50K or something, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it was significant.
It was significant. I mean, it was enough to like put damage in their paychecks, enough for them to talk about it. Like, this was investing in their future. Like, so you're just going to like Venmo LVP, like 50 grand without a signature? Like, wow, you're bold. I mean, I guess we have it all. Like on camera. So yeah. I guess if you needed to like reference back to some verbal agreement, but like, wow, you're dumb if you're not signing anything before giving over 50K.
It's true.
But, you know, I mean, she wasn't going to do them dirty. She wasn't going to do them dirty.
I also, you know, talking about this party, it's not really the opening, it's a soft opening, but I thought it was so symbolic of where James is in the whole situation. The fact that he was like banished to the closet in the top back.
I noticed there's like a little cutout. Is that James's cubby hole?
It's his timeout area. Yeah.
And then you lock him in there when he's, so it's kind of like Rapunzel.
All you can do is
DJ. He has to let down his hair.
No microphone.
I don't want to work with James at Sir, but I don't mind drinking at Tom Tom while James is locked in the closet.
He was present, but like still stashed away.
It's
you
like
know,
Rapunzel
like,
up in that little tower.
Totally, and it
that's
feels
like Jax's favorite moment. He says, like,
absolutely.
Watching James in that closet just felt so good.
Right. It really was just so. It was such like a literal like metaphor, you know, of like where he is in terms of like being associated with everyone right now. And I don't even know if he did a good job DJing. I couldn't really hear, and I'm sure
couldn't
he
tell.
Couldn't even hear his own DJing
James
being
is,
up there.
James is a really interesting person on the show because he's probably. Don't quote me on the math here, but like 15 years younger than Jax, right? Most people, I mean, Jax is, I think, the oldest. And then everyone kind of is in the early 30s, mid 30s range. And James is like in his 20s, like not even close to being 30. And Raquel is like fetus. Like she's like 22 or something. So she's like super young. And like she could be like kind of half of Jax's age. And I'm not trying to like call him out for anything, but I do think like you can really see the maturity kind of grow. And I like James because we're coming into Vanderpump Rules when he's like such a young baby and like calling girls fat when he drinks and like being so inappropriate and being so rude and so like egotistical that he's really getting his ass like handed to him. And owning up to a lot of his shit because he kind of has to. And like watching Lisa like teach him how to do this, like it is a really nice thing to see because we didn't really get that from Lala, and I thought we were, but like Lala's been a badass bitch like since she's been born. Like she just always has a really good sense of self. So it's kind of nice to see that with James because when we saw it with Jax, he was already like in his 30s.
Right.
You know, like
it's
we
true.
Didn't even see all his wild 20 years.
God.
Now
oh.
we see that. Right. Could you imagine that? Like
the
what if
prequel.
We started Vanderpump Rules like 15 years earlier when Jax was like 24?
Yeah.
It would have been an entirely different thing. And so getting to see that now with James and like James kind of being the protege of Jax, like it's just really interesting.
It is.
Do you think like similar with the situation, you know, in the last couple episodes with Billy where nobody was really like validating what she was saying and listening to her opinion and perspective, is the same thing kind of happening with James? Like, do you think that people
no.
are just not, no, well, not, I mean, totally separate with the whole trans issue,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I
right.
feel like nobody is actually letting him feel his feelings and like validate where he's coming from, especially with this whole girls' night thing and how he's like very salty about it because it took over his night. And I think, you know, Schwartz comes over and he's like, I'm not supporting that. And Raquel's like, I think I'm going to go. And he's like, no, like, why do you want to go to that? Like, it's like ruined my life, the fact that I can't participate anymore.
Last night, Billy talked to me and she was like, I really, really want you to come to girls' night tonight. So, I don't know. I was thinking about going.
So you're going to girls' night?
I was thinking about it.
Why? And you don't want me to write a f***ing letter to Randall and you're going to go to girls' night?
Well, why not?
Talk about a contradiction. Don't write the letter to Lala because I don't want you to be friends with her. But I'm going to go to girls' night tonight.
I'm not the going night she's for Lala. Throwing.
See you next f***ing Tuesday.
All right, well, I was and you're going to serve.
Have fun tonight. Have fun tonight. So
relax.
Let's also.
I am relaxed. Okay, okay.
Well, you're going to go back to Jax and say, I f***ing lost my shit again, didn't I?
No, dude, chill. I know this is a sensitive subject for you. I'm not here to rub it in, James.
Hey, well.
James, dude, he gets so. Oh my God.
I just feel like nobody, including Raquel, is really, like, understanding maybe where he's coming from.
I think Raquel, like, where James is coming from, you mean? Like, yeah. I mean, first off, James isn't hosting that night anymore because of his actions, right? Like, right. It wasn't like the girls were like, yo, we're going to take over this night. Like, no, he got super wasted on the job and, you know, said some really hurtful things to a lot of women. And I think in this day and age, not that it was ever okay, but I think now in 2019 where, you know, it's really a gotcha culture and you can't really say one thing that's going to be wrong. Like, you deserve to be punished for it. And so I do think, like, while I don't think maybe a lot of people are listening to James, he's really not listening to himself. Like, he's not really bettering himself anyway, you know, and he can stop drinking for 3 weeks, but, like, then going back to drinking to doing the same thing, like, really erases the 3 weeks that you were sober. And I think that if he wants to, like, change who he is, and I think that will come with age, you know, he's in his mid-20s. Like, that's the time that you make mistakes, you know, and really in your 30s, I feel like you have a better, you know, grasp on who you are and you become an adult. And he'll learn these lessons, and he is learning them, but I do think that, like, he doesn't really have any idea, like, who he is or what he wants and, like, how he wants to represent. And that's why he drinks. That's my, like, psychosis right. of it. The whole
no,
thing.
I think that's a good point. And like you said, he is a lot younger than the rest of them. And he's going through something very different than everyone else at this point in his life.
And I loved at the at, like, the roller skating party when Lala, like, brought James and Raquel over. And she's, like, talking to James, like, having a heart to heart. And she just goes to Raquel and she's like, I'm sorry I called you dumb. You're welcome.
I know. Oh, my God.
And I was like, I love you. So good. She's such good one-liners.
Well, and also going back to Jax's age, did Lisa really not know how old he was until that moment when she's
how
like.
How could that. I mean, listen, to Megan's point, if she's not asking people to file, like, employment papers, then
right?
maybe not.
That's
but I'm
true.
Thinking a W-9 must have gone through with a birth date at some point, right?
Like, I guess. She was like, you're 39? I didn't know. I was like, what?
I know. Like, I knew he was. I didn't realize he was, like, almost 40. He'd probably kill me for saying this right now. But, like, he's, like, double Raquel's age.
I guess he just, like, really hadn't been telling the whole truth about his age
surprise,
for a while.
Surprise, surprise. You know? We really expect the hard facts from Jax Taylor.
That's true.
Something I wanted to ask you, Darren, because you work with Andy Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
You live sort of a fabulous life.
I live adjacent to a fabulous life.
Okay.
I live adjacent. I live next to a fabulous life in my shack.
So, with that said, have you ever been on a PJ or a Peach?
Peach PJ private jet. It's like how Eskimos have 50 words for the word snow. Lala has 50 words for the word private jet.
I've been on a peach.
Okay.
I have been on a peach. It was funny because after the baby shower, a bunch of Andy's friends came up to me and they were like, you know, is this like the best thing you've ever seen? I was like, I've flown on private jets. I've flown on helicopters. I've landed on the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. I've met two first ladies. And this is hands down the best thing I've ever done. Like, hands down the best day ever. So, yes, I have been on a private jet with him before.
Okay.
Just us. Yeah.
Okay.
He took me because I had to book it and he wanted to make sure that he didn't die. And he thought the best way to assure that is by having me come so that way I really secure the spot. So if we die, we die together.
Does Aww. He use Lala's private jet or does he have his
Randall's,
own?
You mean? We use Randall's, Randy's. No, but Randy, give me a call. Happy to use your private jet whenevs.
Us too.
Yes.
Always
forget
available.
About that. Yeah, yeah.
I also love that PJ means Peach means private jet to Lala, but on Real Housewives of Atlanta, that's Portia's baby's name.
Yeah, Peach. Portia Jr.
You'll be meeting Portia Jr. very soon, I'm sure.
100%.
Oh, hundo.
You know, we hear a lot about self-care these days, and whether that means for you getting a massage or binging your favorite reality TV show, nothing is as invaluable as talking to a trained professional.
For those of you who might feel like you don't have someone to talk to, if there's something that's interfering with your happiness, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can get help on your own time, at your own pace, schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus you can chat and text with your therapist.
These licensed professionals are specialized in things like depression, anxiety, trauma, LGBT matters, and anything you share with them is confidential.
There are over 3,000 licensed therapists across all 50 states, and there's 4 different ways you can communicate: text, chat, phone, or video.
BetterHelp is available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps.
Plus, financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable.
Best of all, it is truly an affordable option. Bravo TV's The Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish. So I want to talk Below Deck Reunion.
Yes.
So the first thing I want to talk about is Ross.
Mm.
Ross and Crystal?
Yes. Okay, because it's something that we found out about because the reunion had taped a while ago. But when I found out, I'm watching the episode with Crystal, that terrible charter guest, and then find out Ross has been seeing her?
What does he see in her?
That's actually a better question.
You're like, very.
Yeah, very scandalous.
I mean, he saw the way she behaved on the boat, the way she treated her friends, the way she got, like, blackout and refused to leave, like, you know, the table.
But, like, when did they even meet? Because when was she sober enough for, like, a long enough period to even, like, make contact?
I don't know.
But Ross has, like, a weird, like, judgment, right? Like, even when, like, him and Riley were fighting, like, the whole season, and then they just kind of, like, bumped lips, like, in the cabin, you know, like, I don't know, like, I guess for me I was a little surprised that that happened because I didn't sense much sexual energy between them in the season. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know, I feel like he doesn't have, like, the best judgment of character.
I think that's fair.
Okay,
going off of that, we also get some chatter about his arrest, which, Bravo Lebs, stay out of West Palm Beach.
Ross, Kate F. From Brooklyn wants to know about your recent arrest in West Palm Beach. What happened?
Oh, it was just me and a couple of mates having a fun night out. That's pretty much all I can say. I can't really elaborate on it. But it was a big misunderstanding.
It always is.
Yeah,
nothing good's happening there for you.
It never, like, literally, like, it's the Bermuda Triangle of, like, for Bravo. It's like the terribleness of Bravo. No one should go there. You guys should do your podcast out of there.
Oh. Yes.
The next time you need to take a little vacay and take me with you, pay for it, and then I will be there.
So something that was pretty shocking to me, and I feel like they really don't do this very often at reunions, is they pulled out an unseen moment. And it was going back to Caroline's last day on the boat when we saw her barricaded in her room. And we knew that Kate and Josiah were playing music loudly and being rude.
I mean, what is this? Like a frat, like, initiation? Like, I'm sorry. I was like, you guys are adults on a yacht.
But then I feel like they took it even further in this unseen moment, talking about how she has herpes.
You're leaving because your herpes are flaring up? I don't blame you. Ugh.
Oh, that's not cute.
That's so gross.
Oh my God. I'd hate my herpes to be flaring up.
Well, I mean, I don't have herpes, but
yeah, well,
you
if
do.
I did.
I'm glad you're leaving.
I don't want it to spread that shit.
It's
not cute.
With all your infectious diseases.
It was so cruel and unnecessary.
Especially for someone you think that doesn't have, like, who is a very sensitive person. Them playing music, I just thought was so mean girl.
It absolutely was. And I think you could feel that they were very embarrassed by that. Because especially knowing that Captain Lee, that was the first time he saw that. And, like, he's like your father, like your grandfather. You don't want to let him down. Like, you do not want to disappoint him. And totally. I think they both felt that in that moment. But it was, I think we all deserve to see that. The herpes thing, it was just all so much. And just like, it took it like one step too far. And then just seeing her in the room crying, you're just kind of like, she already gave you 2 days notice. She's only going to be there for 48 more hours. Just like, you don't have to drive her out. She's going to leave, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, for as hard as Captain Lee is on some people, like, he really gave it to Laura and the reunion. I didn't think he was hard enough on Kate and Josiah. I don't know. Maybe he was internalizing it, and it's something that, like, he'll express later, but...
Like, against them, and, like, not necessarily use against them, but use them as an example of, like, how not to act in future. Because he was, like, it was all unfolding as it was going down. Like, he didn't have time to process that either, you know what I mean? And maybe after that reunion, he was like, I really should have been harder, you know, and maybe he will be.
I'd like to think that maybe afterwards he went to their dressing room, like, when they were done taping, and was like, listen, you guys. You know, because, like, you don't want to reprimand your kids in public,
family,
you know?
Family sit down. Yeah, family meeting.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Right. That's what I imagine happened, so I'm going to go with that. They also, you know, addressed what we had kind of talked about, too, with this whole Chef Adrian, Laura situation.
Adrian's a bit weird.
Oh, my, I know.
He makes, like, the comments all
day.
What
do you think it looks like a nipple?
Like a nipple, yeah, kind
of. Yeah. I was inspired by the form of your breast. The meat's, it's right here.
This one?
Not right here. No, turn around, yeah.
Oh, my. Jokes you made were super, like, inappropriate, and they didn't make me feel good at all. Like, girls always get this shit.
If you would have said any time that it was inappropriate, I would have stopped instantly.
Some of the stuff you've said has been so over the edge and, like, has been, like, you know, singling me out in front of people.
I learned to be more patient with myself. I sometimes make mistakes, and I just have to own up to it.
Namaste.
And so I'm glad that that finally came up and, you know, Laura was kind of finally able to express to him, you know, she kind of mentioned it in the finale, like, this made me uncomfortable. And Adrian was like, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? But then, like, Ross kind of weirdly interjects and is like, well, Laura, why didn't you mention anything sooner?
And what I think a lot of men don't realize is, first of all, the onus shouldn't be on the woman.
Granted, some of them were like, the meat joke was like so inappropriate and so derivative, and I just feel like that joke has been made 1,000,000 times. But like, she should have been confident enough to be like, hey man, like, I don't like that. That's A, not funny, and B, just like, doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, we should encourage women to like be strong and stand up for themselves and say what makes them uncomfortable. Like, they have a voice in everything.
Well, and at this point too, I know Laura and Chef Adrian have gone on social media to be like, we're good, like, we're friends, don't worry about it, like, everything's cool between us now. So at least they've worked through it. And like, to your point, and to Kate's point, like, he's from St. Martin, it's different culturally there, you know, like, so I mean, I understand, but I'm glad we finally did get,
I'm glad it
you
was
know,
addressed.
Yeah, yeah, that it was addressed, because it was a conversation that we've had, that we've heard fans talking about. So it was good that they finally brought it out, I think.
I agree.
So the biggest part of the reunion, at least for me, was finally getting to meet Brent, the hero.
Yes, who saved Ashton from drowning.
I mean,
that was scary. That was a harrowing tale. Like, he actually could have lost his life.
Absolutely. And you could tell he's, like, definitely a camera guy. Like, he was just like, hello, Andy. Hello, everyone. You know, like, he was like, oh, my God, I'm on stage. Here we go. And it's just like, you could tell he was a little bit, like, nervous at first. But then you could also tell how affected he is by the experience, because he got choked up even just talking about it. I mean, I can't imagine being in his position, and number one, knowing that you've saved a life, and number two, being able to like sit next to the person and that person be like, I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for you.
Totally.
You know, like, that's crazy.
And then we have like actual footage of it.
Yeah.
You know,
also not a bad looking dude.
Right.
Megan.
I mean,
Megan.
Did we see a ring on his finger?
I know. We don't see one on Megan's, but she just folded her arms, so we don't know now. We don't know.
He is a national hero.
A treasure.
So that's it for Below Deck this season, but we did just find out who's going to be returning to Below Deck Med, so click the link in our description and find out who's coming back.
Is it Brent?
He'll be the camera guy.
Okay, so it's that special time where we pick our Rose and Thorn of the week.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Darren, you're our guest. What was your rose this week?
Like, anything that's been on air, like, what was the criteria for this?
It's really, like, of all the shows, anything that you've seen that was just like, oh, chef's kiss, that's the best.
Okay, so I watch cuts like ahead, and I'm like behind on some things. So the most like moment that I can remember of just being like, man, I love like just working at Bravo was when all the Atlanta Housewives were in Tokyo, and you know, Nene made this like big spiel about everyone being late, and they did that whole like behind the scenes, like, of everyone showing up, like, 2 hours late, you know, 3 hours late here and then, like, she was, like, 45 minutes late. I was like, this is great. Like, 45 minutes late to Nene is, like, right on time.
Right.
So I was like, this is awesome. I love that. Like, obviously, anything to do with Jersey, like, I'm here for. I'm there. I've been watching on bated breath. That's probably been my rose. I mean, the baby shower, of course, but that wasn't on TV, guys.
Right.
And then the baby boy coming.
Yes.
Would be my rose.
Aww.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Eric, what was your rose?
My rose is kind of overarching from when Lisa Vanderpump was here in The Office and then also on the latest episode of Vanderpump Rules. I think her style icon this season and this year is Moira from Schitt's Creek.
Ugh. I love Schitt's Creek, and you're so right. I mean, like, but that's, like, Moira's character. She plays, like, really wealthy. Like, that's how, like, wealthy people talk and act and dress in, like, these silk blouses that are, like, ridiculous with, like, costume jewelry. You're right.
And a lot of black and white and pearls, and it's just sort of like there was an outfit Lisa had on early in the episode, and I was just like, oh, my God, it's Moira Rose.
It is Moira Rose.
So my rose is Moira Rose, but also
Moira Rose Vanderpump.
Exactly. What about you, Megan? What was your rose?
My rose was from Vanderpump Rules, hands down, Kristen Doty, drunk in bed, eating spaghetti, because she was disinvited from Tom Tom.
Because she was your spirit animal.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I identify with this on so many levels.
Well, it's like I just remember a couple seasons ago when Katie Maloney was eating, like, ice, like just a chunk of iceberg lettuce while she was drunk in the kitchen. It's like, that's not what you eat when you're wasted.
Yeah, I know that isn't what you eat. That's what you eat when you're like poor and have nothing else in your fridge. It's like, I guess this is a sustenance thing, I guess. All right.
But so the spaghetti I could relate to.
Yeah, amen.
So Darren, what's your thorn?
I think my thorn is, and maybe this is just because like I want it to happen so bad and it's not, is I really want Dolores and Frank Catania to like be together because they seem to have a really good relationship. I know that they haven't had sex in like 20 years, you know, according to Dolores, but the sexual tension is palpable, people. It is there. I am here for it. Like, they have such a good supportive relationship. And when he's sitting at the car and he's like, do I hold you back? Like, it really made me think. Like, this big muscly man is like being all sensitive. Like, Frank, go in there and kiss her, man. Come on.
Do I hold you back from moving forward in a relationship? Do I hold you back from getting engaged? Would you not move in with David because of me? Because I don't ever want to feel that that's what I'm doing.
I don't know. I don't really know what I want, Frank. I've never thought of myself, really. I went from my mother's house to getting married, to having kids. This is my safe place. You're my safe place, too.
Well, I'll always be your safe place. I just need, for my sound mind, that in the event you ever think I'm holding you back, you gotta promise me that you would tell me.
Last year, I let Frank move in with me because I want all the people I love taken care of. I really do.
Because Dolores, if it's me moving out, all right, in order for you to be happy, there's no hesitation whatsoever.
I feel guilt about doing something for just me.
Okay.
Oh, what are you doing?
Stop, believe me. Be the first time I got you wet in how many years?
You're Come disgusting.
On. Come on, let's go.
Shut up.
All right? Watch out, I'm gonna squirt.
That was my thorn.
He's being really sweet and sensitive, but then he sprays her with water and says,
oh yeah, and he's like, oh,
it'd be the first time I got you wet in how many years?
I thought that was great.
I thought that was so cute. I really do ship them. Like, I wish that they would just get back together.
Yes, that's my thorn. Get back together.
And earlier in the season, Dolores was like, Frank's like my brother. And I'm like, no, he's not. He is not. He's the father of your children. He's the man you're meant to be with. Why don't you see it?
Yeah, like, just get with it, Dolores. Jesus.
Eric, what was your thorn?
My thorn was from the Below Deck reunion. And we've talked about how later in the season, we started to see a lot more of Tyler's personality. So my thorn is the moment when Andy, I believe, asks Tyler, what is the first thing you noticed about Riley? And he goes, her eyes, and then gestures with his hands that he's referring to her boobs.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes really hard at that.
I hate that joke too. That seems like it's just like been there, done that. There. She had a really big personality, right? You know, like I'm like, people, like, boobs aren't that interesting. Like, I'm a lesbian and boobs aren't that interesting. Like,
can
we all get over that? I concur.
He really could have used it as a moment to like say something nice about Riley after the way he treated her, and he just threw that away to make like a dirty joke that nobody cares about.
Right, exactly.
Megan, what was your thorn?
My thorn was also from Below Deck, and it was that unseen moment of Kate and Josiah on Caroline's last day. I just, you know, we already talked about it, but like, too much. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
I agree. I thought that was way too much. I love that they caught Kate and Josiah, though, to know that that was unseen footage, and then it just, like, we threw it back at them at the reunion. I appreciated
that. They were talking about her, and then she just walks in, and Kate's like, we're talking about you right now. And I was like, that's like, I mean, I'm glad she was, like, honest about, like, talking behind her back, but, like, oh my God, I would hate that.
It was
that would make me so self-conscious. You know what I mean? Like, turtle back in its shell kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like that either.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at BravoTV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
And I got my girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.